It is Friday, July 11th, 2008, and this is Talking About Stuff with Christiana Ellis and Mike Mateen. So, do you want to just get right into it?
That sounds good to me. I don't know what other things we would do, I guess.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. We've actually, because we talked so long the last time we recorded, that was actually like several weeks worth of talking about stuffs. Because I actually, you know, split them out. You know, I didn't just go on the half-hour mark, especially because there was the point where you actually talked about how you were annoyed when we do that.
Yeah. I don't know if annoyed was the right word. I don't know if that's the word I use, but I think I expressed my preference to not having to do that.
I think what you expressed is the resistance to artificially limiting a conversation to half-hour chunks.
Yes.
Which I think is a perfectly valid point, and it just made it all the more that I was not going to artificially divide the conversation into half-hour chunks, because that would have been kind of, I don't know, weird or funny or, I don't know, whatever. So anyway, that just means that it's actually been a couple of weeks since we actually recorded last, so there's plenty of new stuff to talk about.
Yeah, but the good thing is hopefully that you've been have you been releasing them? I haven't been paying attention to you releasing. Have they been coming out kind of regularly? So it's not like people have a drought for their stuff.
Yes, that's actually correct. Is that it's been the last couple of weeks. It wasn't, you know, every week on the same day of the week, but about one a week for three in a row.
Sweet.
Yeah. So the big news for me in that time, in the last couple of weeks, is that I've finished traveling. My project that had me traveling to Pennsylvania every week is done. I am now working back in the local North Carolina office, which is very, very cool. I am so happy. I mean, really, it's just, I feel like I'm on vacation all the time.
That's awesome.
Yes. I mean, obviously it'll get boring eventually too, but yeah. Definitely enjoying it. Although one thing that's like been a huge adjustment so far is just the office environment, because before I was in an office environment with, you know, sort of very strict internet regulation, lots of people around all the time, big campus, walking from building to building, all that stuff going on. Now, I'm in a small office that is essentially the size of a double cube. Nobody else is there all day. It's just me in there all day by myself.
And you prefer that, right? I'm assuming.
Well, it's different is the thing. Obviously, it provides me with, you know, more flexibility in terms of hours, and also just, you know, if I want to actually check my email once or twice a day, I can do that, that sort of thing. But, you know, it is just, it's an adjustment, because all of a sudden, you know, I'm sort of used to having there be people around. It's like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And you go to lunch with a group of people. And so I'm not complaining by any means. It's just an adjustment is my only point there. It's a very different day-to-day experience is all.
Yeah. And I can see both positives and negatives to either.
So that's my big news. And I mean, I don't know that I really have a whole lot more to say about it than that. But just, you know, to reiterate what I've already said, I'm very happy to not be traveling anymore.
I know, because we've talked, I mean, even off the record, you know, we talked a lot about sort of the frustrations with it. I mean, anyone who's you know, well, I'll plug Shallow Thoughts. If you're listening to this and you're not listening to the Shallow Thoughts, you really ought to be. But anyone who's not, if you do listen to them, you know, they can hear all your horror stories and the Newark Airport, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it's pretty clear that not having to go to Newark is, you know, it's where it was Newark, right? That was the airport that you kept.
Well, I was flying through Newark, So I was traveling to Pennsylvania ultimately, but flying to the Newark, New Jersey airport.
Right, but that was the one that you kept getting.
Right. Yeah. So, like the second time that I had to spend the night there, I actually thought about getting the Shallow Thought from the first time and just putting it in the feed again. Just not even changing it. Just putting the same one in the feed again, as kind of to make a point of me having to. I had to do the same thing again. Everyone else should have to do the same thing again.
I don't know that everyone else would have gotten it without any. You would have had to explain the joke too much, probably, to make it.
Yeah, well, that's ultimately why I didn't do it. But I certainly thought about it a lot at about 2:30 a.m. lying on the floor.
Well, I think it's usually it's. No, I wouldn't say always a good rule of thumb, but often a good rule of thumb to not always act on the thoughts that go through your head at 2:30 in the morning. Without at least some further consultation and revisiting once it's not 2:30 in the morning.
you are exactly right. I think that's very true. It's words to live by. Is the great idea you have at 2:30, make sure that you give it another run through in your head before actually implementing it.
Yeah, it could be brilliant. It could be you needed that relaxation time to come up with something that you had a block on. But I feel like more often than not, it's not.
Well, you know, and I actually had a very good day the day after that. You know, so I got back mid-afternoon on Saturday. And I did, instead of just going to sleep, because I hadn't gotten much sleep over the night, of course, but I actually went with a couple of friends to go see Wally. And then to sushi dinner, and then back to my place to watch Venture Brothers on DVD. And that was a good time. That was a good day. But at dinner, at one point, they joked that none of that was really happening. I was just dreaming, and I was still there on the Newark Airport floor. And I, you know, I didn't really have any dissociation of reality where I thought that was actually happening. But the idea, just the idea, scared the hell out of me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just, it's like, oh, God, no. It's like, that would, it's like hell or something. Hell is the floor of the Newark Airport.
Oh, yeah. I think that's, yeah.
See, you know, at the same time, I wonder if occasionally we devalue hell. Because as bad as it was, probably not actually as bad as, you know, boiling alive in a, you know, pit of sulfuric acid or something. You know, there could be worse things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
anyway, Wally was good.
I haven't seen Wally. So.
Ah, well, I hardly recommend it.
Hardly, hardly or highly?
Heartily.
Heartily. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that, yeah. It wasn't either of those that you guessed. Well, we've actually talked about Ratatouille and how I felt, and you maybe felt to maybe a lesser degree, but felt that it was a little bit of a stumble for Pixar. Stumble is maybe even too strong a word. Only that I didn't like it as much as I had liked past Pixar movies. I still thought it was good, but not up to the same standard that I felt Pixar had established prior to that.
Right.
And in case anyone's interested, that episode is still on the feed. If you go back in the archives of talking about stuff, that episode is still on the feed. But anyway, Wally, I felt, was very much a return to form. It was right back up there with what I want and what I expect from Pixar.
Excellent.
I loved it.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I don't even, like, want to go too much into the story. I think a lot of people probably know the, you know, the bare bones of it, at least, anyway. But, honestly, you know, none of that's really the point, because what makes it great is just the characterization. You have Wally and Eve. Eve is the, you know, the white girl robot, right?
Right.
And so, just the way that Pixar brings those two characters to life, even though they don't speak conventionally at all. They do occasionally say a couple of words, but, like, none of their dialogue is ever more than one-word sentences. And their entire characters are conveyed through the body language and the non-verbal sounds that they make. And considering that they are not really even humanoid in shape very much, it's frankly just amazing how much we come to care about those two characters. I loved it. It was great. And it has a great theme, too, of just doing things for yourself. Now, I think there's a lot of themes that could be read into it one way or another. But I think ultimately that's what the movie is really trying to say, as opposed to what other people might try to bring to it or pull out of it, is that the theme is, you know, if something's worth doing, you need to just do it and not just rely on others or even robots, say, to take care of it for you.
Well, it's a good theme.
Yeah. And it's not quite the cliche of, you know, small town values are more important than big city stuff, like
Cars.
Bugged you in Cars, yeah.
Did you
ever actually see Cars?
Yes.
Okay, well, I couldn't remember, because for a long time you said you didn't want to see it.
I didn't particularly have too much interest in it. And it was, I mean, it delivered on exactly kind of, I was not pleasantly surprised. It was pretty much exactly what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike it, but it's, that theme bugs me. I don't.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean. I think that in some ways we're kind of flipped on Cars and Ratatouille, in the sense that for each of us, we can understand the problems that the other has. You know, like for me, I can completely understand all of your complaints about Cars, and I think that they are actually valid, and yet they didn't bother me when I watched it.
Right, and I agree on Ratatouille. Every complaint you've had, I totally agree with, but it didn't bother me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of the ones that, you know, were fairly, not upsetting, but the ones that bothered you the most, like the girl character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't even occur to me until you pointed it out, you know, that she was pretty much superfluous to the whole story, and that,
right,
you know, it.
Well, and she lost all of her personality as soon as she got involved with one of the main characters.
So. Right. So instead of being, you know, a strong female lead or co-lead like she started off, you know, as soon as she became the hero's girlfriend, she became just the hero's girlfriend. And I know that.
Exactly.
And when you pointed it out, I looked at it and I said, yeah, that is kind of weird, and it's not something I would normally look for in a movie or approve of. But when I just watched it on my own, it just didn't even quite click with me or bother me. So I think it's the same thing with Cars. You know, like you said, I think I'm agreeing with you, you know?
Yeah. So, but regardless, I think I felt that that Wally was the best Pixar since The Incredibles. That's my own personal take on it. I suspect that if you see it, you will like it a lot. I'm not going to guarantee it that it will become your new favorite or anything. But at the same time, I really loved it. And I loved it enough that I am considering paying $50 for a little a little toy Wally that you can hook up to your MP3 player and have him dance to your music.
You did buy it, or you're going to buy it?
I'm really, really considering it. I have not yet actually paid the money for it, but I want it bad.
That's awesome.
I take it I have your approval then, your blessing to pay $50 for this thing.
$50, and what does it do exactly for $50?
It's well, you know those iDogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, only okay. It's Wally.
And it just dances.
Yeah, so it's a speaker, and you hook up, and it dances to your music.
Does it have a cool dance?
I don't know. I haven't actually seen it move.
I'm sure it's cool. Yeah. If you have $50 just burning a hole in your pocket, you might as well buy that. That's pretty cool. It's cooler than an iDog.
Well, and it's fitting to the movie in the sense that he actually does kind of dance at one point, too. So.
Oh, sweet. Now I'm seeing.
It even kind of works.
Movies with dancing, I'm always good for.
It's only a little bit of dancing, but it's a notable scene.
Well, that's how I prefer it. Usually I don't like movies that are about dancing, but I tend to find myself, you know, having an affinity to movies that include dancing.
Huh.
Somewhere okay. In there.
Do you have, like, additional examples you would care to enlighten us with?
Napoleon Dynamite is the first one that comes to mind.
That's certainly a notable dance.
That's a notable one, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't remember. It was just something weird I was thinking of the other day because there's like Bend It Like Beckham. I don't like that movie, but there's the club scene in it and there's a dance scene, you know, I'm just thinking of things that I've watched recently.
You do like that movie. I mean, let me just clarify for everyone who may not have really been paying attention here or does not know the context. What you just said made it sound like you don't actually like Bend It Like Beckham except for the dance scene.
Oh, no.
I know you wouldn't want to be saying that.
No. I apologize if that is how I was communicating it, because I love that movie. But I don't love it because there's a club scene in Berlin with dancing. But that's what made me think of it. That's why I thought that was even a different kind of example, because I love that movie for so many things, but there's a dance scene in it, and I always found myself kind of starting to groove, you know, before the actual, you know, dramatic point of the dance scene comes in, when they're actually just all dancing and it's got some club music going and I'm watching it on my home theater and the music kicks in. I notice I start to smile and start to kind of shake it on the couch. And you know, I said, and that's when it started to click with me. I'm like, I really like dance scenes. I don't like movie. I mean, not that there's some movies about dance I like, but that's not the driver, but no, I enjoy a good dance scene.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a couple of examples of movies where, you know, the dancing is not a huge part of the story, but it's a notable scene and it's one of the most memorable scenes. Like A Knight's Tale, for example.
Yes.
The dance that they have, A Dance of Gelderland.
Yes, one of my favorite movie quotes of all times.
Yeah. Show us A Dance of Gelderland.
Show us A Dance of Gelderland.
Anyone who is interested should also check out our "Hey, Want to Watch a Movie?" commentary for *A Knight's Tale*. And this is a total tangent. I got an email from someone who had just recently discovered "Hey, Want to Watch a Movie?" and listened to the *Back to the Future* commentary, which I don't bring up just because you were actually not there for that one, but just to the point of that's like an old episode, and so people are, you know, discovering those older episodes too. They're not just listening to the new ones or something.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I thought that was pretty cool.
I agree. I like that. I'm glad people are listening to that because I really enjoy doing it. So I'm hoping people are getting enjoyment out of listening to it.
Yeah. It's been a while since we last did one, partly just because of my traveling and made my schedule very limited. And then the coincidental fact that this past weekend I was at a convention and this weekend I'm going to be at a family reunion, but I'm sure we'll be able to do another episode of Hey, Want to Watch a Movie soon.
I'm sure we'll get it done. Yeah. It's just, yeah, because you were limited to where it had to be on Saturday for so long. And
right.
You know, when it comes, you know, I just had a lot to do on these summer Saturdays, so I wasn't able to kind of get it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But either way,
but, yeah. Another movie with a notable dance scene, Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
With the twist contest. And certainly Spider-Man 3 not hailed as an example of great cinema exactly, but the scene where Peter Parker dances to show off to Mary Jane in that nightclub?
Yep.
Memorable scene.
Memorable scene.
Even if people thought it was dorky, and it certainly was, but I liked it for being dorky, frankly. Still, you know, it's a notable scene.
Oh, yeah. I think it's funny that you're actually coming up. It was my, you know, I'm the one that kind of put this out there, and you're actually coming up with more examples than I am.
Well, but, I'm agreeing with you, yeah. It's just something about, you know, dancing. It's just kind of it's a happy thing.
I like dancing. And there's some, I like some dancing movies too. I mean, I like, I knew I had some ideas here of ones I liked. The Full Monty is kind of, well, it's not.
Oh, actually, there you go. That's a great dancing movie.
But that's actually even a good example too, because it's great dancing in it, but the movie isn't really about the dancing.
Right, right. It's got an actual story separate from the dancing part.
Yeah. Billy Elliot, I love. That's another good.
Yeah.
I love when, like, where he just, that's a great dance movie. When he just dances because he's so angry and confused and, you know, with all the, again, there's more to the story. You know, it's just like Footloose is another one, you know.
Yeah. Lots of great dancing movies.
Yeah. Dancing is awesome.
You know, that's actually one advantage to being in the office by myself.
You dance?
I did a little bit today. I was listening to, I just got the soundtrack to this. Okay, this is like one of the geekiest things ever. I bought the soundtrack to a quirky RPG Nintendo DS game.
Mm-hmm.
That features a lot of like techno and Japanese hip hop on it. I don't know why I started to say hip hop, maybe just because of Japanese. But it's got some songs that frankly made me feel like dancing. And so I did a little bit today in the office by myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
See? Dancing. Dance parties. It's always good. So.
That's an awesome game, by the way. I don't think I actually said what the game was called. It's called The World Ends With You. And I got the soundtrack because I have the game and liked the music and discovered, hey, look, you can buy the soundtrack. It's really, really cool. It's made by Square Enix, which is the same people who make Final Fantasy. It's obviously, you know, because it's for the DS, it's scaled down a little bit compared to, like, you know, Final Fantasy 12 or something.
Right.
But it's urban fantasy set in the modern day real world Japanese neighborhood of Shibuya in Tokyo, which is sort of has a reputation for being like the trendy neighborhood where all of the teens that are, you know, hip and wear the latest fashions and all of that stuff hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this RPG, urban fantasy RPG set in that real place, and all the game mechanics revolve around that. So like you get powers by collecting these like fashion pins that you can level up and they give you psychic powers, and then your armor is like clothes, but all of the clothes have a brand and the stats go up and down depending on whether that brand is cool in the area that you're in.
Wow.
Yeah, so if the brand is like a super lame brand in that area, it'll only give you half of the benefit. But if it's the coolest brand in that area, then it'll be doubled.
That's sweet. I like that. It's complicated,
it is very complicated. It's an action RPG also, which means that the combat is not just, you know, select fight, select weapon, select spell, or whatever like that. It's actually, there's sort of an action mechanic to it.
Right.
But you're playing on the top screen and the bottom screen simultaneously. You have your main character and his partner. He is controlled on the bottom screen, and she's controlled on the top screen simultaneously, which sounds incredibly complicated, and it is really complicated, but you actually do start to pick it up, and it's really an interesting, unique game mechanic that I've never seen before. So on the bottom screen, you're controlling his movements and his powers with the stylus, and then you're using the D-pad or the buttons, depending on whether, you know, you're using the stylus with your right or left hand, to control the actions of the character on the top screen, and they're fighting at, you know, simultaneously. Now, what you can do is just let the character on the top screen go into like autoplay mode, and she'll just do her own attacks and with according to the AI, and you don't have to pay attention at all.
Right.
But you get bonuses if you can use the two of them like in tandem, like if you get them sort of like synced up. And you can use them in the right order, and you can kind of control better what the top character is doing. You can be much more powerful and effective in your combat.
Huh.
It is a very, very cool game. I kind of heard that it was interesting, and so I decided to get it, but I'm absolutely loving it. Plus, the music is very cool, which is, of course, why I bought the soundtrack and why it actually inspired me to dance all by myself in my office today.
You were dancing by yourself? Uh-oh. Dance by set. Oh. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I was not going to contribute to that one. I was going to just let you do that one all on your own.
Well, I would, anyone who's listening and can think of a movie with a memorable dance scene that they like, I would suggest them to comment or submit that, and we could discuss, because I think it's very true that there's a lot of really cool movie dance scenes.
Yeah. You know, and it just occurred to me, it's been a long time since we actually had a voicemail line for this show. But since I still have my currently active Shallow Thoughts voicemail line, people can definitely still use that number to call in and leave a voicemail for this show if they like. It's 206-984. Man, I say it every single time in Shallow Thoughts, but like when I'm not doing the voice, I can't remember the number right. That's crazy. I'm paranoid that I'm going to say it wrong now. 984-9264. Yeah, I had it right. I don't know. I just got like
it sounded right. Yeah, you just got all tripped up.
Yeah, that I think that's what it was. Is I'm just so used to just rattling it off, and in that shallowthoughts.livesin.com 206-984-9264. But then when I was trying to say it in a different way, I lost the rhythm.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the rhythm.
Yeah, especially not with all of this dancing going on. That was a lame follow-up to your joke. I was hoping that it would be kind of a funny secondary joke, but no, it was pretty just bad.
No, because the joke already understood that we were all this dancing was going on, so when you
that's why I felt like I had to actually apologize for it, because it was just really... It was a leech joke, is what it was.
Well, your apology is accepted.
All right.
I'll leave this with, because another one that I was just kind of scanning through my DVD collection and trying to think of some other movies with great dance scenes. Shaun of the Dead actually has a dance scene.
Oh yeah, the
sort of
the queen. Yeah, with what's the
queen? Yeah.
I'm having a good time. Is that the name of the song? What was it? Having such a good time.
Yeah, I think that's
it. I'm a shooting star. I don't remember. That's the one, though. Yeah, where they're beating up on the guy with the pool cues.
Yeah. And that's sort of a dance scene, to some extent. I mean, it's a stretch, but still kind of.
Oh, the Addams Family. Remember the big ballroom dance scene in that movie?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I haven't watched that movie in forever, but I remember that scene.
It's a great scene. You're right. So,
oh, And the end credits of an anime called The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya has a very cool dance. And they actually had a panel at the Japanese Worldcon on how to do the dance. And I talked about this at the time, I think, in my sum up of Worldcon when I went to Japan. But
I think you did, actually, yeah.
I went to the panel on how to do the dance, and I have video of myself doing the dance that I never quite managed to get up online somewhere. Maybe now I have to actually do it, huh?
I think so. Thank you.
That's good. I'll have to try to find where I've got it saved. I have it somewhere.
So, but now I'll turn it over to the listeners. Oh, there's a great dance scene in Eurotrip. A little different, but also in a nightclub in Europe, yeah. Which, yeah. But anyway, so. I think that's the end of that conversation. Listeners, submit it. Dancing is cool. Yeah, what are your favorite dance scenes?
That's it for this installment of Talking About Stuff. Thank you for listening, everybody. You can find the podcast notes at christianastuff.com and also now at christianaellis.com. At christianaellis.com, you can also find links to all of my other stuff. So, check it out. In the meantime, talk to you guys later. Bye.